It's good to be back amongst you. My voice isn't at its best. I'm going through a rather rough time at the moment. I've had some eye surgery, some drain valves put in with microsurgery, and I'm on quite a lot of drops. And if these drops don't work, then I've got to go back in, and they're going to take the eye out and look at the optic nerve. So I don't want that. Get praying. So that's something I can do without that. So you get praying. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, the faith chapter. Chapter 11, just a few verses before I look at Habakkuk, before we look at Habakkuk. Father, we pray now as we look to your word that you would quicken your word to us. Father, your word is life and light. It's truth, and it stands true in our day. Father, I pray that you would help me to hide behind Jesus, to show Jesus only. Father God, have mercy upon me, your unworthy servant, I pray. In his matchless name, amen. Amen. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understood that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And verse 27, and we're looking at Moses. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Job saw that same invisible God. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. Do you know what? They were the only people to ever get baptized without getting their feet wet. The Hebrews, amazing, isn't it? They went through that baptism and never got their feet wet. They passed through the sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. Amazing words, absolutely amazing words. And just the last few verses. Of Samson, he says, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword out of weakness, were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. They're absolutely amazing words, absolutely amazing words. When you look at our world today, as you look at it through biblical eyes, you realize that the great Olivet prophecy of Matthew 24 and its three great questions of verse 3 sent. There's regional conflict. There's great persecution of Christians in Russia and many other countries. At the moment, the Middle East, God is at work in the Middle East. Don't see it as an Arab Spring. God has the winnowing fan out in the Middle East. Syria, Isaiah 17 and verse 1. Says, Isaiah says, the burden of Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. Genesis 14 and verse 15 tells me that it's one of the oldest cities in the world, and Abraham rescued Lot near there. The Battle of Dan took place there. Egypt, judged today. Judgment is ongoing for the enslaving of the Jewish nation, the killing of the baby boys. Still ongoing for that today. We're living in the days of Noah and the time of Lot. In Noah's day, they handed out licenses for homosexuals and for lesbians taken in marriage. And we're doing that again today, in our day, in our country. Lot's day, the licenses had ended, but homosexuality still rife. I'm not homophobic, I'm Bible-believing. It's as simple as that. Homosexuality still rife. The treatment of strangers. Leviticus 19, verses 33 and 34. And if a stranger sojourn with thee, in your land, he shall not vex him, not be violent or oppress him, not abuse him. Sodom and Gomorrah and the plain cities were destroyed for such an offense. It's happening in our day. It's happening in our country. It's happening to our people. And God reminds Israel that they themselves were once strangers in Egypt. You know, on many occasions as I travel, I've been asked by worried Christians to explain why our own country, our children, are no longer safe in their own homes. Internet predators, pornography through the internet. You have to look to your children in your own homes. You have to value your children enough to chastise them. You spare the rod and spoil the child. Don't be afraid to turn it off. Don't be afraid. Why isn't God doing something? Why isn't God doing something? That's the question, isn't it, that we get asked. Well, let's come back to Habakkuk. We shared with you the book of Habakkuk. 679 to 448 BC, Habakkuk lived. And he's watching. He's watching his own nation decline from the inside. And an enemy approaching from the outside. Now, we have that enemy approaching in terrorism. And it will gain momentum as the Middle East problem evolves. An enemy approaching from the outside. And a church declining. Superficial leaders. Wishy-washy leaders. Trendy leaders. And Satan attacking that weakness. Immoral compromises bringing the church into disrepute. Now Habakkuk with Jeremiah were contemporaries together in Jerusalem in that day. They were both God's servant. Jehoiakim was king. He was an evil king. And he burnt Jeremiah's scroll, Jeremiah 36. You can read it there. He cut it to pieces and he burnt it. But they were praying prophets, Jeremiah and Habakkuk, and they wouldn't be done down. You read it in Jeremiah 1 and verse 10. Our God will not be mocked. Our God will not be mocked. It's as simple as that. There is a judgment. It was rewritten, the scroll, and judgment was added to it. And as in our day, as today, there were many false prophets, ministers sitting comfortably in relative luxury, stipends way above what some churches can afford, and churches are brought to ruin because of it. Ministers have livings. I had a living, ministers, well, I didn't really have a living because I never took a penny from the church. I made sure that I worked and in fact put money in. That's how it is. That's how I believe it should be. There were many false ministers. He sat comfortably. Ministers have livings. But prophets have a message that would bring hardship if you really believe. And Habakkuk knew. This was 606 BC. Nebuchadnezzar would take Jerusalem. He would destroy the temple. Habakkuk's name means to wrestle, to embrace. And that's what we have to do today, to wrestle and embrace. He wrestled with the problems of his day, heartfelt, and he faced up to the problems of his day. He wrestled with God, a peacemaker, not afraid to rock the boat, not afraid to go out on the limb, to stand in the gap. Now, when I talk to non-believers, they say, but there is no God, therefore, no blame attached. So why worry? Live today, for tomorrow you die. That's the attitude, isn't it? But those who believe, you and I, those who believe the old four-square gospel, Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, healer, baptizer, and coming King, we are concerned. I pray you are concerned for them. An eternity spent outside of God. Hellfire. Their souls lost. Families, friends, strangers. And we wrestle. If you have a heart, you wrestle with God for them. We reach out to them and embrace them. You reached out to us as we came through the door and you embraced us. And we reach out to them and we embrace them. If the house on fire over the road is on fire, you would go over and you would try and rescue them. You would try and redeem them from the flames. Well, you need to redeem their flames from the soul of hell with the same verve. We've been redeemed, you and I. We've been reconciled and we've been restored by faith in the atoning blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. The hymnist said this: my faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. He died for me. He rose for me. And he's living for me. He is living for me. Salvation through the blood. Born again. Spirit-filled. That's the assurance and confidence that I have in this Jesus Christ. God called Habakkuk when his chosen people, the natural descendants of Israel, dependent and descended from one man, Jacob, who God named Israel. You can find it in 2 Kings 17. 12 tribes descended from one man. All Jews, I belong to Israel. He called him away from the temple. Come on, you're okay, come on. It's all right, come on in. Called him away from the temple. from the security of the temple. And he made him a gospel preacher with Jeremiah. And they were sent, Habakkuk and Jeremiah, to deal with the old age problem of sin. A people wanting to live apart from God, to live for self. Someone asked me once, what is the epitome of evil? Well, I am the epitome of evil. When I rules there, bit of a bump there, wasn't it? When I rules there, that is the epitome of evil. That is evil, I on the throne. And from the verses that we read, chapter 1 of Habakkuk, we find him wondering and worrying. He's prayed long and hard, and he's failed to get an answer. He longed for an answer. The psalmist David knew a bit about this, Psalm 18 and verse 6. He's in deep distress, as was Habakkuk, and he says this, "In my distress, I called on the Lord. I cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple. And my cry," he says, "came before him, even unto my ears." Now Habakkuk made three accusations against God because he thought God would do nothing. He levels these against God. He says he's indifferent, not doing anything. He's inactive, he's not working, and that he is inconsistent. And he's using Babylon, of all people, Babylon to punish wicked Israel. Wicked Babylon to punish wicked Israel. He's down in the valley. Have you ever been there? Oh, I've been down in the valley many. I lived in the valleys, but I've been down in the valley many, many times in my Christian walk. Pastoring is a call. And if you haven't got the call, leave it alone. I've been down in the valley. Pastoring is amazing work, but it's also hard work. I have to confess that I've said, "Lord, what's happening? What's happening? I'm doing my bit. We are pushing on in the church, and all I see around me is the ungodly prosper." Like Habakkuk, feeling sorry for myself. "I know you are real. I know you are real. He who hath seen me hath seen the Father," Jesus said. So I cannot deny the reality of God. And like Habakkuk, we cannot deny the reality of evil. It's not an error of mind. We see it every day. Read it in newspapers, television. It's all around us. And we are in a valley of conflict, a battle of conflict. And battles, as you read in this Bible, are not won. They're not won in the valley of conflict, but on the mountaintop of prayer. They are won on the mountaintop of prayer, on your prayers. They won these battles there. And so in chapter 2, he goes up into the watchtower and he says this, "I will stand upon my watch and set myself upon the tower." Now Jesus asks us, you and I, to watch and to pray over our generation. Don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep. Persistent, persevering prayer. Now Habakkuk is getting a little higher. He's out of the valley of despair. He's watching and he's waiting for an answer. And he got that answer in a most amazing way. Five woes are pronounced against fraud, selfish ambition. And Jesus, in Matthew 11, verse 21, the woes of Jesus against unbelief. And it's all unbelief. Covetousness, creating civil strife, fraud, the politician, the bankers of our day, your day and mine. The exploitation of others worldwide, building on their misery, blood and greed. It's the exploitation of our day. Gambling, now on internet and TV against, it's amazing, isn't it, what comes onto our televisions these days. A woe against those who promote drunkenness and destroy families for profit. Our governments are afraid to tackle the drink industry because of the money that's involved, the profit for the coffers. Sins of our day. They're afraid to act. Idol worshippers, entertainment, the idol of the masses, sporting. You see things that you'd never ever think you'd see. Big Brother, we venerate the degenerate in our day. In murking, we make perverts, lords and ladies. Drink, drugs, acceptable in our day. Decriminalize them. These are the sins of the prophet's day. The Babylonians would enslave them, the sins of their day. And they are the sins that enslave our young people today, our children today. The day of salvation still stands. The door is still open. Still stands. God is still calling men and women. Still long-suffering. Still merciful. Still consistent. Our God is calling all to come. All to come. The world is perishing for a lack of the knowledge of God. And the church is starving for want of his presence. And against this background of woes, Habakkuk prays for revival. He prays for revival. He prays for the old revival prayer. He prays the old revival prayer. It's amazing, the old revival prayer. And Habakkuk prays it. Psalm 85 and verse 6. Wilt thou not revive us again, says he, that thy people may rejoice in thee. Remember the old hymn, revive thy work, O Lord, thy mighty arm make bare. Speak with a voice that wakes the dead and make the people hear. Revive thy work, O Lord, create soul thirst for thee and hungering for the bread of life. O may our spirits be. You know, when a leader in Habakkuk's day, in Israel's day, when they broke camp in Moses' day, he would roll back his sleeves. He would roll them up so his mighty arms are made bare. God made his arm bare. God made his arm bare. It's a sign, a sign. Revival is in the bare arm of God. Will you not revive us again? Will you not revive us again? Knowing his God is a holy God. And one day his Christ will come. Not once, but twice. So great is our God. So great is his name. Never changes. Never changes. He rolled back the mighty Red Sea for Israel, and he'll roll it back for you and me. We'll cross that Jordan. We'll cross that Jordan. And he gives him three blessed assurances. Chapter 3, a fearful prophet and a righteous God. And he gives him three blessed assurances. Stars that shine in a night of judgment. The just, says God, shall live by faith, by my grace. That's the great Hebrews 11 chapter, isn't it? The book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Read them. Read them. Paul's Pentecost. Martin Luther reads it. The righteous shall live by faith in Jesus Christ. Acts 3 and verse 15. The Reformation begins. The Reformation begins. The Protestant church is born. Salvation is a free, unmerited gift of God. May 24th, 1738, Aldergate Street, London. We are made righteous and just in Christ. John Wesley, listening to the same reading from Romans, being moved by the power of the Holy Spirit, is converted, and the evangelical revival begins. And the evangelical revival breaks out in Wales with Howell Harris and Daniel Rowland, George Whitfield, William Williams of Pantycelyn, Bread of Heaven, Bread of Heaven. The Welsh revival, one of three, finishes with the 04 and 05 revival. Evan Roberts, used of God, a man taken from the coal mines, like myself, an ignorant and learned man, taken from the coal mines to preach the gospel. The Hebridean revival breaks out under Duncan Campbell, and on it goes. Between that is the Cornish revival. Billy Bray, Be Saved. He would go into the houses and the churches of the Anglicans and ask them if they were saved. Billy Bray, an amazing man, a tin miner. The rule of God, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of God, a living God on human hearts. I come into the close now, so anyone's asleep, now's the time to wake up. Now's the time to come to life. The assurance of God's glory, new birth. Habakkuk says, God, there is a day coming when the earth will be filled with your knowledge and the glory as the waters cover the sea. Let all the earth, he said, keep silent before me. Whatever you see, God says, whatever you see, the just shall live by faith. I am that I am, the Creator God. And he gave him a vision that made him shake. It shook him rigid, absolutely rigid. Everything, says God, is in my control. Do not worry, do not fret. That's what he says to you and I today. I am working, and he is coming. My blessed assurance, Jesus. Live for me in him, because the just shall live by faith, not sight. I will never leave you, he says, nor forsake you. Be still and know that I am God, and I will be, and he will be, exalted among the heathen in all the earth. Watch, pray, and wait. And it brings such a transforming movement in his life. From wondering and worrying in the valley, to watching and to waiting, to worshiping and witnessing as he runs on the mountaintop. And he shouts, do it again, Lord, do it again. Revive your work in the midst of the years. Revive your work in the midst of the years. You know, it's not the pedophile. It's not the wife beater. It's not the drug addict. It's not the drunkard. But God says, if my people will hear from heaven, if my people, if you and I will hear, if you and I will hear and act on what we hear, then I will revive you. Then I will save the land. He's running up on the mountaintops. You know, God always keeps his promises. He says to the Israelites, remember Egypt. He says it to you in the table, remember Egypt. He says it to you and me. Look back and remember what I've done for you. Remember what you were. Victory would be Habakkuk's. He saw it through the eye of faith. And you and I will have a victory. Habakkuk, as we learned, God permits evil in the world, and that's the lesson of the cross, isn't it? Eternity hangs on the cross. It's a great lesson to learn. God uses his own way. He judges it and triumphs over it, and brings his glory to pass. I cannot explain the days you and I live in. Outside of that, we do not live by explanations, but by the promises of God. The Lord is our strength. He makes us sure-footed. We read it. Ruth read it for us. Judith read it for us. The Lord is our strength. He makes us sure-footed as hinds, and he makes us walk upon high places. God came to Israel and said, remember Egypt. Remember what I did for you. He stood, and then he marched. And to you and me, he will march again. He is coming again. We live, you and I, in heavenly places. Our Father is in heaven. Jesus, our hope, is in heaven. Our Savior is there. And Isaac Watts, and I'll close with this, who said hooray? I thought I heard someone say hooray then. Isaac Watts, the hymnist. Come, you love the Lord. Do you remember this hymn? We're marching where? We're marching to Zion. We're marching to Zion, the beautiful city of God. We're marching upward and onward to Zion, that beautiful city of God. Whatever you see, whatever you hear, you'll never be more secure, more safe than you are now. You're reconciled by the blood of Christ, redeemed, reconciled, and restored. How much do you love me? It's as simple as that, isn't it? Eternity hangs on the nails of the cross. Your life and my life, your future and my future, in the blood of the Lamb. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. He's an amazing God. He's my God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's your God. Thank you for being so patient.